from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I.
Welcome back to part two of Post... Put that cup down. Put it down. You don't need to stir the sugar in. It's done when you've swished it around a couple of times. Put it down. This is your alternative sideways look at the news with me, Eric Wiltshire, Lee G. Banks and Rachel Brunston, giving us a completely international feel, which is why we're now going back to England.
Who's giving you a feel? I'm not. Are you not a feel of feel?
I'm not doing it.
Are you trying to suck at me?
My arms aren't that long.
Yeah, exactly. See, cheeky monkey.
Disasters over in the UK at the moment, where homes are falling into the sea. Somerset's been basically cut off with no rail link, as that's fallen into the sea. And that rail link has been stood there since the 1890s. So quite dramatic.
I'm still waiting for a train.
Yeah, they won't work now because they were chopping it up last night, which it was really scary. There's this bloke with an oxyacetylene welding gun chopping these bits.
He's not the oxymoron, is he?
No, chopping these bits of rail off. That must have weighed tons, and they were bouncing in front of his face. I'm going, not me, mate. Anyway, 10 Downing Street, which is the name of the Prime Minister, said that around 8,000 properties have been without power due to the violent Atlantic storms. And the worst thing of all this lot is I was watching the meteorological reasoning behind this, and apparently it's now got to a stage where it's coming across on this jet stream that comes across the Atlantic. And when one sort of storm comes in like that, it encourages the next one, the next one, the next one to suck the water up from the Atlantic and dump it on England. So there's this, it's like London buses. There's nothing for ages, and then there's about eight of them in one go.
Only they're not as fun as London.
No. Although
you don't see as much.
Well, that's true. But they did get the old London buses out. They did get the old London buses working this week because of the tube strike in London. It's not been a good week for the UK, that's for sure.
No, anyway, it's been dreadful.
Also, nice to see the Royal Marines were out yesterday helping people sort of prop up the sandbanks and all other defences, which I think is kind of a nice thing. And the guy was saying that they were so well received when they came back from Afghanistan that they thought it was their way of saying thank you to the local citizens. So good luck to you, sir. Good luck to you, sir.
There is a thing about the coverage of this, though, because...
It's weird.
This actually is. I'm in the Midlands, and we've suffered like 40 days of rain and pestilence. But and we have floods around here. The fields are flooded, etc. But there's nothing. No houses, as far as I'm aware, have been flooded. And yet, this actually is a complete and utter catastrophe for people living down in Somerset, etc. And I do not believe that this story's had the world coverage that, say, a storm in America gets.
I never heard one thing about it. We heard about the storm, the latest storm that hit America just recently.
Yeah, right.
And we didn't hear a thing about any of this, not a thing.
Well, it was. I can tell you it was on the Slovak news for sure. It was on...
Excuse me, I have a cough.
Bless you.
Bless you. Or Nastravia. It was certainly on Rush from Moscow. It was on the news from there. It's been
on Putin rubbing his hands.
No, it wasn't. It was RT. RT, which
I know.
It was
a joke.
It was definitely on... I saw it on Al Jazeera, and I saw it on CNN... So it's had quite good coverage.
Not the sort of dramatic coverage of the storm. Anyway, I'm not decrying the storms in America, but this is absolutely incredible, really. If you look at how many houses have been affected and how long it's gone on for, and it's even started to affect the government now because the Environment Agency chairman, Lord Smith, has been attacked by, has been verbally attacked by local residents. And
but the trouble is that's just pure frustration, and I understand the frustration. But at the end of the day, I'm sorry, it's not the government's fault. They didn't pour water down in Somerset.
No, but they did. They are continuing to give far more out in aid for people abroad than they're actually willing to spend on our own disasters. That's a bit strange.
Well, I think it's. I tell you what, you're as cynical as I am over this. And I think the fact that the railway line down to Somerset, which is going to affect or could affect the tourism to the area, which is a massive, massive employer, has prompted the government to get going again. Because without the railway line, the tourists can't get there. And without the tourists, there's people out of work. So I think that could actually just have motivated them a little bit to get the thing fixed.
Well, there's a point on that it's been brought up, obviously, or I wouldn't know about it. But that rail line, people have been warning that for over a decade now that rail line was in an inconsistent state and was in danger of causing problems. And that's been completely and utterly ignored. And that is indicative of the way the powers that be, the authorities in the UK, work. You know, for instance, we've been warning about the disaster that's going to happen.
Whoa, it's not the government. It's national. What's National Rail or whatever they call it these days?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The government are there to do our bidding, and our governments, like governments across the world, forget that that's what they're there to do, to do our bidding. Yes. And we've been telling the government and British Rail to do something about this, and they haven't. The government should have been pulling pressure on British Rail to do something about it.
Yeah, I can't argue with that point, but I still...
See?
No,
see?
I can't argue with that point, but I still think there's a point where sometimes it's like, oh, I've got a cold, let the government fix it.
Yeah, but there are things that you have to look at. Like, you know, we've been warning about a bridge down here, an ancient bridge that will collapse because of the weight of traffic. They're ignoring it, completely ignore it. Once it happens, then they'll say, oh, my God, I've got to do something about it.
Yeah, but then you just give us the name of the bridge now.
Say that again, sorry.
What's the name of the bridge?
It's Bridge 52. Over the Shropshire Union Canal, which is over 70 feet high and is a national monument created by Thomas Telford and has one of the most unusual telegraph poles. It has a 3-foot-high telegraph pole fixed into a unit inside the bridge, was put there in Victorian times and is now taking upwards of 500 to 700 HGVs a day, and it was actually built to take carts.
Right, in which case the date is blah 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 February 9th 2014, and Lee Banks has said it here, so whichever council it is, you have been told.
Staffordshire County Council, well done. I wasn't expecting that. That was lovely. I'm moved now.
You have been told, as it says on the internety webby thingy. You might not have the voice, boys and girls, but we've got a big one. A voice. William Roach, the star of
Coronation. Not be suckered.
No, we won't. we might. William Roach, the ITV star on Coronation Street, has been found not guilty of rape and indecent assault, and apparently he's going to be back on the famous street very quickly.
Absolutely.
Our Coronation Street representative, correspondent, bloke is none other than Lee Banks, who watches this stuff.
I do, actually. I think Coronation Street, it might not fit in with my hip and cool image.
I'm just off for a cup of tea while he talks about it.
But it actually is an iconic show. It's something I'm sure Rachel agrees. Does it show in Australia?
Yeah.
They do?
Well, we've got a channel on our cable television network called UKTV. So it's everything from you guys. And Coronation Street, EastEnders, all that stuff. I don't watch it, but I know it. I know the name of it, and I've known it for my whole life, I feel like.
It's one step up from Home and Away in Australia and things like that. Thing that Kylie used to be on.
Do you know, years ago, and I'm trying to remember the exact date, boys and girls, when I went out and I got my first satellite dish up on the house, everybody thought I'd gone completely barking mad because nobody had even heard a satellite in those days, let alone anything else. And I got it working when the wife was at the time was out, and she'd gone to keep fat glasses, and I thought, I can put the dish up quick. So I didn't dare drill holes at 9 o'clock at night, so I got some bricks and propped this dish up with the cable going through the letterbox, running through the house, into the box on the top of the telly. And I turned it on to joy. The delights were amazing. There wasn't one soap opera to be seen. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And then some plonker put soap operas on the satellite.
Well, they should. Anyway, this isn't talking about poor old little Willie Roach, is it?
So the question is, now that William's been exonerated from all charges, should it be the case that the people who brought the charges against him in the first place, i.e. the people, should now be taken to court for telling porky pies?
No.
Why?
Absolutely not, and it's not even a consideration. And I think it's fallacious and terrible that you're actually suggesting that.
Well, Ed, hypothetically, yeah, they're lying.
Depends what the intent was when you told the story.
Absolutely.
If you believe something took place, like you know the whole mess with Dylan Farrow.
Yeah.
If you believe something took place and you earnestly believe that this happened and you go and tell your story and they end up choosing the wrong person to convict, or in actual fact you remembered it wrongly and you've got a bit of PTSD from this situation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So many different scenarios, I don't even want to start. But I wouldn't think that prosecuting people who have told their story the best way they know how is any way to treat anybody who's been through something. Mm-hmm. And also, if they've done it in malice to make it up, then yeah, because that's bearing false witness, and even God says
absolutely,
you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So there we go.
The situation is, with William Roach, very simply, that you have to accept that William Roach has been cleared, he's been vindicated, as Rachel said. So was Michael Lavelle, who was off Coronation Street as well, who was cleared of...
Don't mention any others are in court at the minute. Thank you.
I wasn't going to. What I was going to say is that do you keep hearing the door slamming in the background?
Yeah, it sounds like you're beating your missus up again.
It's the doorway to my mind.
If she opens and shuts that door again, this is my studio. There's a red light outside saying don't come in.
And that's not for the studio, dear boy. We move on.
I want to finish on this because it's an important fact. William Roach was cleared. And the news stories are saying, and I think there is a lot of credence to this, that actually the charges against him were brought in malicious circumstances because people objected, A, to the fact that at 81 he openly bragged last year about how wonderful his sex life and how he'd slept with over 1,000 women and all sorts of things like that. And then he went on about him being a druid. And there's nothing wrong with being a druid, and there's nothing wrong about bragging about your sex life. But it looks like certain people did bring a malicious claims against him. The problem is that the police had to investigate it, and the police believed that there was some veracity in what they were saying. Therefore, they cannot really be prosecuted because a prosecution should have been done when the police investigated this case. And the police have investigated these cases and have got it wrong again.
There you go. As they have with the gentleman who's been sent to prison for a year for lying about a government official. He's gone to prison for a year.
Who?
The police officer that said he witnessed the Plebgate saga.
Right, yeah, no, that's right, yeah.
And he's gone to prison, so they are not above the law. Let's move on. Radio's on the rise in the UK, but yes, at last, there's more people listening to digital radio than analog. Analog means AM and FM. In Slovakia, we don't have AM anymore because they switched it off. And then they told everybody 2 weeks afterwards that they'd switched it off, and then people complained. Right. I've got to take my hats off to then Slovak Telecom, now Towercom, who were geniuses because they kept it so quiet and nobody noticed. Then everybody got upset afterwards. Yeah, right. But the main thing is that the radio is on the rise in the UK. It's over 90% of the population over the age of 15 now listen to radio. But the important thing is, across the country, only just under 50% listen to analogue. And in London, it's as low as 40%. Unbelievable. Yeah.
But let think about it this way. You see, digital radio generally in the UK doesn't work.
But it does. Digital radio doesn't. It doesn't just mean that old digital radio you've got from dot days.
No, I have a new digital radio. I have a docking station, dear ladies and gentlemen. I have a docking station. And it's a new one. I didn't buy it.
I'm sure you can get it arrested.
Docked?
Yes, he's been docked.
Don't go on about docking.
No.
No.
No, don't. Anyway, the other interesting factor is almost 25% of listeners now say they use their phones to listen to their radio station, which is quite a good thing because we're on Windows 8 PC, tablet and phone.
It's a great thing.
It's a great thing. It's a great thing.
Gotta use your dictaphone.
Yeah.
Don't use your finger like anything.
And I'll tell you what else is really surprising, and we kind of... almost touched on this on an Australian forum, where it's not the commercial stations at the top. It's actually the good old Bath Bun Company. Bless them.
Mm-hmm. The Bath Bun?
Bath Bun Company, BBC.
That's an elephant, isn't it? That's what elephants say. I want to bun.
So well done to good old Chris Evans. He's a really nice bloke, that bloke. He's a nice bloke. If you sit down with in the old TVS studios, Chris will remember this, sitting in the old TVS studios in Maidstone, sitting there quietly having a chat and a cup of coffee, lovely bloke to talk to.
The gingies, by the way.
No, we're not going there.
I never said ginger. You're just trying to turn this into cheap porn.
I'm not.
You're the one who said about the
yes.
phone. I didn't know anybody was listening. That was a private phone.
It was hilarious.
We should also congratulate Nick Grimshaw, who was lambasted when he took over the Radio 1 breakfast show, and he's added another 700,000 listeners.
No, he there hasn't. He's lost 300,000.
But he's got 700,000 back.
He hasn't. He's got 1 million and now he's got 700,000 because he lost 300. How did he lose 300,000 people? It must be his Facebook friends.
No, what's happened is the old people have left and he's got young people listening again, and that must have been really hard.
Well, he's not funny. He's a bit funny, but he's not incredibly funny. Chris Evans is quite eccentric and actually mad. Comes up with some... Yeah, and he is good. But I don't like his show because it's on the BBC. But it's like, all right, Nick Grimshaw can be funny for about 30 seconds, then he just becomes this rambling ridiculousness.
Well, a bit like you on here.
Yeah. I was going to say, kettle black, love.
Yes, absolutely. Careful, Lee. Anyway, we move on.
Not speaking.
Here we go. We're going to have another. We're going to get another spat in a minute. Is your employer watching you? Is one of the big headlines around cameras, emails, whatever. pardon me.
No, haven't got the webcam on, have I?
I don't think so.
No, you're not watching.
No, I'm not watching. Anyway, it's because Hitachi can watch people moving around the office, and you know people are getting. I don't understand. I'm lost. I am totally lost with this. Because when you're at work, you're at work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you do something that's not work, then it's perfectly right for the company that's employing you to know that.
There are things called human rights.
I don't care about human rights.
That's a bold statement.
I don't care.
You should go to Sochi Olympics and build a stand there and pass out flyers.
Let me give you another example.
Eric, the Putin of Poprad.
Right, let me ask a question. Lee.
What? I'm not talking to you after what you've said.
You've got email at home, right?
I've got a mail at home.
Email.
Yeah, he's from Lancashire.
Which is connected via your internet, yes?
Yeah.
And you pay for it, right?
Yeah.
It's yours.
It is.
Absolutely. Rach.
Yes.
What?
You've got email and internet where you live?
Yes.
Difference is Rob pays for it.
That's right. He's my employer.
So basically it's Rob's, right? We agree that.
That's right.
Yes. Okay. Now, when you go to the office... Who owns that email?
They do.
Thank you. So why do people get upset when they go, the boss has been looking at my email?
If you're sending email from your work email account or your work email address, you shouldn't be having personal conversations through that email address anyway. So you should be opening a browser and opening up your Gmail or whatever it is that you do.
No, but then you're stealing.
Well, you don't, When I go to the office, mm-hmm. I don't use Facebook. I don't use my email. I only use the tools that they have given me to do my job because I don't have time to, you know, stuff around with that stuff.
No.
And I worry about my personal stuff before and after work. So, you know.
But if you send an email or receive emails through your work computer, are you not stealing the bandwidth that the company's supplying?
And their time.
And their time.
You are, in principle.
In principle, what does that mean?
Well, it's like I say, there is the dignity of labour. People have fought for hundreds of years for the dignity of labour. Mm-hmm. And if in fact you are dedicating your time and your talents to making somebody in business money, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that either, then it is incumbent on the employer to give you the basic rights of dignity for those 8 hours of your life that they own you. And if they don't, then there's something wrong with the employer. But it's also incumbent.
You have to figure out where the line's drawn, though, Lee.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. You've got to. You know, when I worked on the last newspaper I worked on, it was the Mirror. We had introduced. An internal email system, and for months or weeks anyway, everybody went absolutely insane on it, emailing everybody else. And I got myself in trouble, as you probably remember, by emailing a woman I was seeing at the office on the internal email service after we'd had a row, saying that I'm really sorry about what I said. Let's meet in the car park at the break. And that went to my editor, not the woman, by accident, which was a bit embarrassing.
Whoops.
But easily explained. Easily explained.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. But we were all abusing that system, and ultimately we were stopped abusing, and then everybody settled down. It was all right. But yeah, you've got to. It has to be a cut and dried thing. I think human rights are very important in the workplace.
I think if the boss is sensible in the dinner hour, if you like.
Yeah.
Then it's fine. But these people who moan that they can't send an email or the security camera knows when you go to the toilet in work hours is absolutely fine.
No.
Why?
Because
I don't think it should be timing how long you spend in there. I think that's a bit...
Well, yeah. Okay, so if you spend an hour in there, is that acceptable?
Well, it depends.
Oh, no, that's... It depends. Do you have a colostomy bag that needs changing?
Exactly.
You
know,
you don't know circumstances.
I love you too. You're lovely. I love you too. You're wonderful. You're the best talk show guests ever. What colour's the sky? Black. No, it's white.
I'm not talking to you.
Damn it, I've given the secrets away. Anyway, Pope Prats is in a bit of a quandary. He doesn't know what to do with a bar of chocolate he's got. Trouble
and
is this...
And so sold his motorbike.
Yeah, this bar of chocolate is life-sized and was gifted to the pontiff by Mirko della Vecchia. Did I say that rightly?
Good at Italian, aren't you?
No.
Oh, no.
Anyway, according to the master chocolatier, this is said to have taken 1.5 tons of cocoa to produce this replica of...
Is he a big bloke, then, our Pope?
Yes.
No, he's not. He's not a great big bloke.
Since you argue about anything.
He's your average-sized bloke, I reckon.
He's your average-sized Pope.
He's a bit bigger than normal.
What, how big's a normal Pope?
Well, he's older, so he's got more girth for being older.
Benedict was bigger.
Probably.
Yeah, but he ate a lot of eggs.
Well, this is true. We move on to Australia as... Oh, I can't believe I'm going to read this out.
Right.
This is Lee's headline. Where does Lee come from? A tabloid background. This is not a joke.
This is not a joke.
Brilliant.
The mystery of the mind-boggling snotfish, which was washed up in Australia. Well, if that's what it's called.
It isn't called the snotfish. You just said it was called the snotfish. It's called a lion's mane jellyfish.
Right.
So it looks like snot.
Yeah, okay, all right.
So it really does. That's what they thought it was. All these kids went up and poked it on the beach in Tasmania.
No.
It was hilarious. And there's these photos of these kids poking this big round thing that looks like somebody stayed on the beach and had a really bad time.
You mean, but they would have
won that big, wouldn't it?
They'd have had to have a big nose and a big finger.
It was massive, 1.5 metres wide. That's enormous. But it was just one of those freaky-deaky things. It was brilliant, though. It was brilliant. And I saw it in the news and I went, that has got to be the coolest thing Mother Nature has coughed up on the beach for ages.
And goodbye to Jay Leno, who after 22 years is hanging up his Tonight Show suit, tie and all the rest of it. And he was another one who at the beginning was lambasted for taking the show on and it won't be any good. But he's been marvellous.
I've met him.
He's been great.
He's been really good. We were.
Did you like him, Lee?
Actually, how I met him was this.
I'm trying to rush through the stories.
Oh, I'm doing it really quick if you keep talking and stopping me. It's interesting. This is what we're supposed to talk about, our experiences in life. When I went to meet our friend, our very good friend in LA, in Hollywood, shall we name him?
Yes.
And went to meet our friend, Mike Pasternak, the Emperor.
Emperor Roscoe.
Emperor Roscoe.
Hang on. Emperor Roscoe, your bug-eyed buddy and refugee from across the sea.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I'm only trying to tell a one-line story. And we went to have a barbecue at his house in the Hollywood Hills, and then we went for a walk, and what we actually saw coming down the road was a little English sports car. I think it was like an MGB GT.
He owns an MGB GT,
And he does, and it was this little sports car, which is strange in America, coming down this long hill towards us, and there was this big, massive, gigantic head sitting in the middle of it, and that was Jay Leno!
Yep, he's a real petrol head, Jay Leno, good man.
He loves his cars.
He does.
To be filled with petrol.
He loves his cars. Sony's cutting jobs and has killed off the PC products. Why? Because they're focusing now purely on phones and tablets.
Phones and tablets.
That's smart. I don't know. The whole Sony, the one and only, and everybody who's got a Sony television will be really upset by this.
Well, can't make phone calls on it, though.
I don't know, brand names. I'm not really into them. I think we discussed the whole topic of tablets, phones, and all the rest of it a while ago. And Eric's view was that'll be the future.
That'll be the day.
That'll be the future. And we've got to quickly say RIP to Windows XP. Bye bye, Windows XP.
I know, that's a bit worrying for me.
Bye.
I use XP. It's my up-to-the-minute operating system.
On that happy note, boys and girls, it's the end of part two, the end of Postcard from Pop Rock. Say goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Lee.
I'm not talking to you.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. All right.